I noticed during passing of the peace time that there was a lot of shaking going on. Shaking hands, peace be with you. Well, when I was surfing the net a while back, I ran across a headline that intrigued me. It proclaimed, "Scientists formalize the perfect handshake, world peace on track for 2012. It's true, researchers from the University of Manchester in Northwest England have devised a guide to the perfect handshake. The human handshake, quote, is one of the most crucial elements of impression formation and is used as a source of information for making a judgment about another person. If you want to create a good first impression or close that big deal," the study, by the way, was commissioned by Chevrolet, "then you can use this perfect handshake to bring that sale home, to seal that initial impression. According to one of the scientists, the perfect handshake for both men and women are: use the right hand, a complete grip and a firm squeeze, but not too strong, a cool and dry palm, approximately 3 shakes, not 3.5, with a medium level of vigor, held for no longer than 2 to 3 seconds. The handshake must also be executed with eye contact, kept throughout, and a good natural smile, and an appropriate verbal statement. Hey, how you doing? Now, I know that there are scientists among us for whom the description is much too vague, those words, and so I thought I would share something of the mathematical formula they came up with to express this perfect handshake. PH, the perfect handshake, equals E squared plus VE squared times D squared plus the sum of CG. Well, it's about this long. Just see me for the formula if you want to find out later. The first service actually got to see it on the screen, so just to make you a little jealous. But wouldn't it be grand? Wouldn't it be grand if relationships like handshakes, apparently, could be reduced to a mathematical formula? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could commission a study to devise the perfect method for establishing, sustaining, and growing our relationships? The relationships that make up the heart and soul of life. As we grow, we discover that it's not quite that easy. As we experience relationships with family and friends and co-workers, teachers, students, and God, we discover that they go deeper than, and they escape reduction to, mathematical formulas or perfect methods. And the more significant the relationship is to us, the more nuanced it becomes, with subtleties and challenges, blessings and depths that go beyond what words or numbers can express. They are the stuff of life. When these relationships go south, the cuts that they cause go deeper than anything else we can know, making us feel isolated and lost in darkness. But when they are good, they can take us up to the mountaintop. They can bring us a joy that nothing else can duplicate. When they are real and honest and lasting, they share with us and they show us the heart of the abundant life. Unfortunately, because we are human, because we are broken by sin, these very relationships, these intimate ones, the ones most important to us, are the hardest to maintain. As much as we would like for them always to be good, sometimes, in some cases too often, we find ourselves struggling in the valley rather than enjoying the view on the mountaintop. These intimate relationships are hard. They take energy and attention. They require commitment and compromise, if not all-out sacrifice at times. And oh yeah, forgiveness and grace are critical in moments little and big. That's critical too, to remember. They are hard. This is true between parent and child, between spouses, between friends. It is true of any intimate relationship. If we take the words of the psalmist to heart, we find that it is true also of our relationship with God. I tell you, by the way, these Bible studies that we meet with on Tuesday mornings at 6:30 and in the evening at 7 o'clock, they help me write my sermons. I was sitting in the evening Bible study at 7 o'clock, and I won't mention the name of the Methodist retired pastor who's here this morning. I won't mention his name, but he said during that Bible study that this psalm that we read, Psalm 27, is like a symphony. And it has different movements and moods. And I said, yes, it clicked for me right then. That's it. And when we sat down at 6:30 in the morning, and after I'd had some coffee, and we sat having bagels and enjoying the fellowship around the table, we read the psalm together, and I asked what words came to mind. Almost immediately, someone said, trust. And almost right after that, somebody said, struggle. Trust and struggle. These are the two main movements of the symphony of this psalm. If we read through the psalm, as we read the words of the writer as he or she describes in their relationship with the Lord, we get both of those things, trust and struggle. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Trust. Profound trust. But then we also get, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Don't turn away. Don't turn away from me in anger. Don't hide from me. Don't abandon me. Please. Struggle. Profound. Struggle. In this psalm, we encounter the two sides of every intimate relationship, trust and struggle. In every intimate relationship, we engage in the dance of trust and struggle. Trust opens us up to each other and to God, and it builds bridges between us, and it forms homes where we can find joy and meaning together. But then in the next movement, in the next steps of the dance, there is struggle. And the struggle can wound us and wound us deeply. But in the end, the struggle strengthens and nurtures our trust. And we go back and forth between struggle and trust, trust and struggle. Unfortunately, there's no perfect method to this dance of trust and struggle, to this symphony. There's no formula. There are practices and principles, to be sure, that are essential and that require commitment and energy. That's why I require premarital counseling. I don't just marry people at the drop of a hat. I think it's important that we talk about those principles that make for good communication, for healthy relationships. These build trust, and when they are missed or ignored, it often, almost always, results in struggle. But it is more than science. It is more, I would say, art than science. It is art in the sense that each relationship with God and with each other is a unique creation, a unique harmony of partners and individuals. And therein lies the beauty of each relationship and the challenge.
for each of our relationships. If we want them to live, we need to nurture and deepen the unique trust that exists and survive and learn from the unique struggle. And this is precisely what God empowers us to do.
This leads me to the second great end of the church. We are moving through the six great ends of the church, the great purposes of the church, the why we are heres of the church. And this second great end, represented by this banner with hands of all colors, lifting up to reach out to the Spirit, that the church is here to shelter, nurture, and the spiritual fellowship of the children of God. Shelter and nurture and spiritual fellowship of the children of God. This is what the church exists for. To bless and deepen the most intimate relationships of our lives. There's a reason why the most significant moments in our lives, baptisms, weddings, and funerals, occur here. We come to this place for shelter when we struggle. We come to this place to nurture and celebrate trust. We come to enjoy the blessings of spiritual, read, profoundly deep fellowship of the children of God, you and me and ourselves with God. When it comes to the art of relationships, of community, of friendship, of love, we come to this place to learn and practice our bells and our oboes and our harmonies, and we enjoy and affirm each unique song. And we learn how to make our relationships better and deeper. When we gather together for the Treasure Boutique, when we sit around the table and in our coffee shops and at Swenson House in Bible study, when we gather together as friends in our homes, when we celebrate music and reflect together in worship, and tonight at the end of life, when we get together to learn and discuss and wrestle, we celebrate trust. And we affirm struggle, the reality of struggle. And in the midst of all that, God takes our struggles and redeems them and forgives them and uses them to strengthen our trust. Where does the psalmist discover the blessings of trust? Where is the struggle endured? One thing I asked of the Lord, says the psalmist, that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord. This is where it happens. All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. What does Jesus say about the kingdom of God? Don't look for it there. Don't look for it there. Don't look for it in a book. Don't look for it in the library. Look for it here, among you, in the relationships of your lives, in the love that you celebrate, in the trust that you build, in the struggles that you endure. There is the kingdom of God. It is among you. It is true that the church and we ourselves in our individual relationships too often fall short of this goal of being a shelter in struggle and a nurturing of trust. Instead of harmony, sometimes we encounter cacophony. And sometimes the music is so soft we can barely hear it. This needs to be acknowledged. And we need healing and grace and forgiveness for each other. But we trust and struggle together. And we find and nurture hope. We encourage each other to rely and grow in trust. We celebrate the bonds of trust that bind us together. And when we mess up, when we fall short at home, at work, at school, at church, at play, when we struggle in our relationships, we are reminded that we do not have to despair. Our struggles are forgiven and redeemed. And because they are, we can learn from them to make our relationships stronger. And all of this is possible because of God's grace and God's love. Jesus provides the model, the Spirit provides the power, and the church, the community of faith, provides the opportunity and the invitation. Are you on the mountaintop in a relationship with someone this morning? Or are you in the valley of struggle in a relationship in your life? Think of Jacob in the Old Testament. He tricked his brother out of his inheritance and skipped town. And when God told him to return years later with his family to his home, he picked up, packed up, and went home and headed toward a reunion with that very brother that he had swindled. And on the eve of that reunion, having received word that his brother was riding out to meet him with a huge group of soldiers, not a good sign, Jacob stops, and in that night he crosses the river and he spends the night wrestling. And he wrestles with the stranger. And he wrestles until the light begins to break. And the stranger says, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "No, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to continue to wrestle with you until you bless me." The identity of the stranger is strangely remains mysterious. But there are hints that it is God that he is wrestling with. And the stranger touches his hip, and Jacob is marked for life. He will limp for the rest of his life. But when dawn arises, he is blessed. Are you on a mountaintop with someone, with God, this morning? Or are you in the valley of struggle? Trust. Struggle. As God's children, we trust and struggle. We come out with our limps that mark us forever. But we also come out blessed when the sun rises. Researchers from the University of Manchester say that the biggest problems with handshakes are sweaty palms and limp wrists, you know, a limp handshake. Or gripping too hard. And lack of eye contact. "Hey, how you doing?" How nice for handshakes. It might seal a deal. But in this place, we are reminded that life is so much more than that. So we say with the psalmist, "I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living," that is, in our relationships. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Amen.